Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. And whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home.
Hi everyone, I'm Sugandha, and I will be hosting today's episode with my colleague, Clem Levovalier. Hi Clem. It's been a while since we co-hosted a podcast episode, hasn't it?
Hey, Sugandha. Yes, it has been a while, but it is good to be back here with you.
It really is. A little background about your host before we begin today. I am a fairly recent newcomer to Canada. I moved to Toronto, Ontario from India about 3.5 years ago as a permanent resident.
And I've been in Canada for around 11 years now. My spouse and I moved to Toronto from France after visiting many countries over an 18-month trip, and we really loved how diverse and family-friendly Toronto was, and it seemed like a great place to settle down, start a family, and raise kids.
I have to say, Clem, that sounds like an awesome trip. And of course, these are very valid reasons to pick Canada. If you are moving to Canada in the coming weeks or months, you probably have a lot on your to-do list, including things to research and learn about Canada. Arrive has a handy downloadable pre-arrival checklist that you can use to make sure that you're not missing out on anything important before your move. You can find a link to our Moving to Canada checklist in the episode description below. Clem, I've also heard many newcomers say that one of the things that prompted them to immigrate to Canada was the country's robust healthcare system. And I see where that appeal comes from.
Yeah, especially if you're comparing Canada to its southern neighbor, it's a very different situation.
Absolutely. So, in today's episode, let's dive deeper into how Canada's healthcare system works. The biggest question newcomers often have is healthcare really free in Canada?
Well, sort of. I prefer the term publicly funded rather than free, because even though most people in Canada don't pay for most healthcare expenses out of pocket, the healthcare system runs on tax dollars. So, you're paying for these services in the form of provincial taxes. Each province manages its own healthcare system and health insurance plan, so the specific rules may be slightly different depending on which province you live in. But yes, if you're a permanent resident or a citizen of Canada, you're eligible for publicly funded healthcare, and you don't need to pay for medically necessary procedures and costs.
Okay, I noticed you said permanent resident or citizen. Does this mean that you'll only be covered under your provincial health insurance plan if you're a permanent resident or citizen?
So actually, this varies by province. In most cases, you'll need to prove that you're a resident of the province, which usually means that you need to live or intend to live in the province for at least 183 days of the year. That's roughly half, in order to be covered by the provincial healthcare plan. So in addition to permanent residents and citizens, work permit holders usually qualify for provincial healthcare. But if you're an international student, you may not always be covered. For instance, Manitoba and Ontario don't include international students under their provincial healthcare plan, and only students from some countries are covered in Quebec. In other provinces, you may need to be enrolled in a study program that's at least 6 months or 1 year long to qualify for provincial health coverage. So it depends.
Got it. So that means if you're an international student and aren't eligible for provincial healthcare, you will need to pay for private insurance or student insurance that's provided by your university or college. Because legally, international students must have health coverage for their entire stay in Canada.
Yeah.
Starting from the day they enter the
country. That's
right. Clem, you also mentioned the term medically necessary procedures when you were talking about the costs covered by provincial health insurance. So what exactly does that mean?
That's a good question. Medically necessary means any doctor's appointments, treatments, diagnostic tests that you actually need and that are recommended by a qualified medical professional. Provincial healthcare doesn't cover optional or cosmetic procedures or tests that aren't prescribed by a doctor or midwife.
And the cost of medication is usually not covered, right?
That's right. You do need to pay for medication out of pocket, except when it's given to you in a hospital setting.
There may also be other differences in your health coverage based on which province you're in. For instance, some provinces cover mental health services while others don't. Vision and dental care usually aren't covered under provincial health insurance, except under certain situations, like if it's an emergency surgery after an accident. In some provinces, vision care may also be covered for minors or adults over the age of 65. I do want to highlight that you need to register for provincial healthcare. You don't get covered automatically.
Yeah.
The registration process is different in each province, so make sure you do your research on what documents you need to sign up, where you need to go, and whether there's a waiting period in your province. For instance, in British Columbia and Quebec, there is usually a 3-month waiting period before you can qualify for provincial health coverage. So your health coverage will only begin 3 months after you become a resident of the province. On the other hand, there is no waiting period in Alberta, Ontario, and Saskatchewan. So you can apply for a provincial health card as soon as you have all your documents ready.
If you haven't decided on the province or territory that you want to settle in, health coverage is probably one of the factors you should compare while you're making your decision. And you may also want to look at other aspects, such as the job market, culture, the cost of living, the climate, and more. And you can find in-depth information on all of these in our guide to Canada's provinces and territories, which we're going to link out to in the episode description.
Yes, that is a great resource, and I highly recommend that you go through it. So once you're approved for health coverage, you will receive a provincial health card, which you will need to show every time you visit a doctor or get a treatment or test that's covered under your provincial health plan.
Yeah. And how it works is, let's say you've gone to see a doctor. Instead of billing you for the consultation and the treatment charges, the doctor's office will bill the provincial government directly. And to do that, they need your health card details.
Speaking of doctors, one thing that takes some newcomers by surprise is that you can't just go to any doctor in your city in Canada. You will need to find a family doctor and register as a patient with them. And then that doctor becomes your regular physician. Family doctors are also called GPs or general practitioners, and they essentially take care of your general health, such as annual checkups, immunization, preventative testing, and prescribing medications when you're sick.
Yeah, bear in mind that finding a family doctor often sounds easier than it is. There is unfortunately a shortage of family doctors in Canada. So in some cities, it might be a little more difficult to find a doctor that's close to you who is accepting new patients. Now, as a newcomer, one of the best ways to find a trusted family doctor is by asking your relatives, friends, coworkers, neighbors, if they can recommend someone. But there are several other ways to find one. For example, your provincial website will usually have a list of family doctors by location, or you may be able to get some help from a newcomer settlement agency. It's not mandatory to have a family doctor, but there are definitely advantages to it. For instance, you'll be seeing one dedicated doctor for all of your health concerns, and over time, that person will become familiar with your medical history. Plus, if someone you know and trust has recommended this doctor to you, you probably feel more comfortable consulting with them. You should bring your medical records from your home country with you. That is one of the things that is on our checklist that we mentioned earlier. Bring those medical records with you so that you can share them with your new family doctor when you fill out the intake documentation.
Clem, now I realize that we've just said that you need a family doctor, but at the same time that there's a shortage. And that sounds contradictory and scary. Rest assured, if you aren't able to find a family doctor close to you right away, or if you fall sick before you're able to register with a GP, you can always find a walk-in clinic near you. Usually, you don't need to make an appointment to visit a walk-in clinic, but some clinics allow you to call ahead and make one anyway so that you can reduce your waiting time. There, you can see an on-call doctor or a nurse, and they will be able to provide you with healthcare services similar to a family doctor. You will still need to take your health card with you. The disadvantage of going to a walk-in clinic is that you may not see the same doctor each time you visit, so they won't know your medical history. Another major difference that I noticed compared to my home country, India, is that in Canada, you can't go directly to a specialist doctor. Clem, do you want to talk a little bit about the process of seeing a specialist?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's say you have a stomach issue that won't go away and you want to see a gastroenterologist. Even if you know of a good one in your area, you can't make an appointment with them directly. You will have to go to your family doctor or to a walk-in clinic first. And if your family physician or the doctor that you saw at the clinic is convinced that you should see a gastroenterologist, then they will give you a referral. If you're pregnant and want to see a gynecologist or an obstetrician, and here they're called OBGYN, if you need to see your family doctor first, do a blood test to confirm your pregnancy, and then you'll get a referral to see the specialist. Now, the way a referral works is that your family doctor will contact a specialist and ask if they'll see you. This may not always be the specialist you wanted to see, although sometimes your family doctor will ask you if you have any preferences. And if the specialist has enough availability, they'll accept you and contact you directly to make an appointment. And if not, they'll turn you down through the doctor. That said, you'll probably need to wait for several weeks before you get an appointment with a specialist. But that'll depend on where you live, the type of doctor you want to see, and the urgency of the situation.
That sounds complicated. So do you need to make an appointment through your family doctor every single time you want to see that specialist?
That depends. If it's a specialist that you'll be seeing fairly regularly, like you have appointments every few weeks, then you may be able to make repeat appointments directly with them for a while.
Okay.
For instance, if the specialist you're seeing is a pediatrician for your kids, then they'll likely register your child as a patient and you won't need to keep going back to your family doctor. But if it's a specialist that you're seeing once and then maybe again in 2-3 years, then yes, you'll probably need to go through your family doctor or walk-in clinic again before you rebook with them.
Understood. Now, what happens if there's an emergency, like if you're in an accident or need urgent critical care?
In that case, you should go straight to the emergency room at your closest hospital. It's always a good idea to be prepared for all types of emergency situations. And one of the most crucial things to do is to know where the closest hospital or clinic is. Mm-hmm. Now, you might want to put up a note with this information in a visible place in your home, like on the fridge, so that you don't waste time looking for it when an emergency occurs. You can also keep a piece of paper in your wallet stating who to contact in case of emergency. So in my case, it states my name, my spouse's name and contact details. So in case I'm ever in an accident, the paramedics know who to contact. If you are injured or in an accident, you can also call 911 and request an ambulance. But you usually need to pay a portion of the ambulance cost, or sometimes even the entire cost if a doctor finds that the ambulance was not medically necessary. And for instance, in Ontario, that's roughly $45 out of pocket for the ambulance, and the full cost is roughly $240. And the charges might be different in other parts of Canada.
And if you need diagnostic tests on things like blood work, x-rays, ultrasound, or allergy tests, you'll usually need a requisition form from your family doctor or specialist. You can use this form, which basically includes a list of which tests you require, to book an appointment at a lab or a testing center. Now, when you visit the lab, you give them the requisition form, show them your provincial health card, and get your test done. And after a few days, the test results will be sent to the doctor who signed your requisition. Again, not to you directly. And they will let you know if the results are normal, or they will call you back to make a follow-up appointment. Bear in mind, not all diagnostic tests are covered by provincial health coverage, so you may need to pay for some out of pocket. Clem, I've heard there's also a service where residents of province can access free health advice over the phone. Do you know about that?
Yes. So this service exists in every province and territory in Canada, except Nunavut. And in most regions, the number you need to call is 811, but there might be a different number in your province, so do look it up and make note of it. Now, this service is referred to by different names in various provinces. In Ontario, it's called telehealth. In BC, it's called HealthLink BC. But it's important that you don't confuse this service with diagnostic services or treatment. When you call, you'll speak to a registered nurse who will be able to help you assess whether your health issue can be resolved on your own or if you should get medical advice from a doctor. They won't be able to give you a prescription or treat you. And there may or may not be a long wait over the phone.
Okay, that's helpful information. I think we should also talk about one or two healthcare scenarios that newcomers may experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So one scenario is, as a newcomer, you might want to start a family after settling in Canada. Mm-hmm. Or you may be moving to Canada with your family. And in these situations, figuring out where to go for healthcare, what's covered by your provincial insurance and what isn't, all these things are going to be important.
Exactly. Let's look at the first example that you mentioned, giving birth to a child in Canada. So most of the costs associated with childbirth are covered by provincial healthcare plans. This usually includes 2-4 ultrasounds and other tests that are ordered by your doctor, as well as the cost of delivery at a hospital, including the cost of a shared hospital room. You usually need to decide if you want an OBGYN or a midwife, but in both cases, your provincial health coverage will include the cost of these consultations. If you meet certain risk factors, such as a high age, your provincial health insurance may also cover the cost of your genetic screening tests. Plus, any medication or pain management drugs that are given to you while you're in the hospital will also be covered. You may still need to pay for any medication you're prescribed before giving birth, such as iron or prenatal vitamins. And if you opt for advanced screening that you aren't covered for, you will likely need to pay for those yourself.
That's right. And if you're moving to Canada with kids, finding a doctor for them is definitely going to be a priority. One question we often get from newcomers is, do we really need a pediatrician, or is having a family doctor enough to treat our kids? And the answer is that that really depends on you. For most common illnesses, your family doctor should suffice. In my case, my three kids see our family doctor. But if your child has a more complicated medical situation, a pediatrician might actually be better equipped to help you through those. That being said, there are only around 3,600 pediatricians in Canada. So depending on where you live, it might not always be easy to find one. In some provinces, like Alberta, pediatricians do not offer routine services like vaccinations. So you would still need a family doctor for your children for those. Plus, of course, your family doctor can take care of the entire family, whereas pediatricians will only look after your child until they're grown up.
Thanks, Clem. That's helpful. Another thing I want to add here, although it's not directly related, is that if you're moving to Canada with your children, don't forget to bring their vaccination or immunization records with you. In Canada, all children who attend school are required to receive certain vaccinations based on their age and the provincial vaccination schedule. So you'll need their immunization record when you register your child for school or daycare, summer camp, or other children's programs.
And if your child is still due for some of the vaccinations that are required in your province, then you'll need to get those before school starts. And the cost of those will be covered by provincial healthcare plan.
Okay. Clem, before we close this episode, I do have one last question. We talked about a lot of things that are covered by provincial health insurance, but what about the costs that aren't?
Yes.
For instance, the cost of prescription medication or vision or dental care. Does everybody need to pay for those out of pocket?
That's a very good question, because vision and dental care can be quite expensive in Canada. In fact, if you're not yet here in Canada, I would recommend that if you're getting ready to move, try and get all of your routine checks, including vision and dental care, done in your home country. And also get refills of your prescriptions, contacts, lenses, glasses if you use them, because it might be much more affordable in your home country. Mm-hmm. That said, most Canadians have some form of private or add-on insurance to fully or partially cover health expenses that aren't covered under the provincial healthcare plan. Many employers offer add-on insurance as part of their employee benefits packages. So if you've already found your first job in Canada, or if you're looking for one, make sure you ask about the benefits plan before you sign your job contract. And if this isn't a perk that your employer offers, then you can always purchase extended health insurance or vision or dental insurance from an insurance provider or a financial institution. And you'll need to decide how much coverage you want, and accordingly, you'll pay a monthly premium for the duration of that policy.
Got it. So it's a good idea to have private or employer-funded insurance in addition to the provincial coverage you receive. And you can get private insurance even if you aren't a permanent resident or citizen. For instance, if you're a visitor to Canada or an international student who isn't covered by a provincial plan. A medical emergency can really take a financial toll.
Yeah, that's right.
There have actually been instances of people going into medical debt because their hospital bills were simply unaffordable. But you can avoid such a situation by making sure that you have enough private coverage.
That's right.
Clem, this has been such an insightful chat. Thank you for all your tips and advice. I also want to thank our listeners for joining us today, and we hope that you learned something helpful about Canada's healthcare system. If you are moving to Canada soon, I recommend that you read our Preparing Your Move guide, which we've linked out to in the episode description, for information on all the things you should do and research to make your transition to Canada easier. And of course, the checklist I mentioned earlier, which will help you make sure you're not forgetting anything important ahead of your move. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life and finances in Canada, check out our website, arriving.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.